I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Be thanks for God for the blessings that we have, for the opportunities to share those blessings with one another and with those around the world. These gifts, our lives, Lord, we dedicate to you to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, for Advent, I thought it would be an interesting look at the Christmas stories and the characters in the context of good news and bad news. Because when you look at all the stories of Mary and Joseph and the Magi and the characters of the Christmas story, they are certainly the recipients of some very good and amazing news that is almost unbelievable. But also there is this other side of it, that two-edged sword, if you will, of good news, but there's some bad news. There's some difficult news, some stuff that these characters had to struggle through. And so as we go through Lent this year, we're going to look at some of those characters and some of those stories and in that context of what was the good news, but also what was the bad news that they had to go through during this time. And our first story today comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 25. And it is John the Baptist and his birth being announced, which obviously is some good news to Zechariah and Elizabeth. During the time when Herod was king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife's name was Elizabeth, and she belonged to the priestly family of Aaron. They both lived good lives in God's sight and obeyed fully all the Lord's laws and commands. They had no children because Elizabeth could not have any, and she and Zechariah were both very old. One day, Zechariah was doing his work as a priest in the temple, taking his turn in the daily service. According to the custom followed by the priest, he was chosen by lot to burn incense on the altar. So he went into the temple of the Lord, and while the crowd of people outside prayed during the hour when the incense was burned, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar where the incense was burned. When Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayers, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to name him John. How glad and happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. John will be great in the Lord's sight. He must not drink of any wine or strong drink, for his very birth. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord, strong and mighty, like the prophet Elijah. He will bring fathers and children together. He will turn disobedient people back to the way of the Lord's people, and will get the Lord's people ready for him." Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know if this is so? I am an old man, and my wife is old also." "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God, who sent me to speak to you and to tell you the good news. But you have not believed my message, which will come true at the right time. Because you have not believed, you will be unable to speak. You will remain silent until the day my promise to you comes true." In the meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering what he was spending so much long time in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them, so they knew that he had seen a vision in the temple. Unable to say a word, he made signs to them with his hands. When his period of service in the temple was over, Zechariah went back home. Sometime later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and did not leave the house for 5 months. "Now at last, the Lord has helped me," she said. "He has taken away my public disgrace." Amen. Back in the Clintonville church that I served, we started to have, and was like the, I think the first one, a healing service, much like what we have here that we will be doing today. And in the same way, we invited people to come up and have a time of prayer, and I anointed them with oil, and it was, you know, a generally nice service. It was actually an evening service that we did this. But we had one particular couple that came down, and they came before me, and they said that they wanted prayer because they wanted to have another child. They had one child already, and the wife, because of medical conditions and all sorts of other things going on in their lives, wasn't really sure if they should have another child, but they wanted to pray and ask God to give them another child. So we prayed, I anointed them with oil, and sadly, we didn't think about it again. And then about a year and a half later, it was a baptism service, and I was baptizing their baby daughter. And it was funny because it occurred to me in that morning as I was preparing for the baptism service, I was like, wait a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, I did the math. And I went up to the husband and the father, and I said, Ken, do you realize how long Sandy or Sammy was born? And well, yeah, she was born on such and such a day. He said, yeah, but count backwards. And he's like, well, oh. It never occurred to him that the timing was right after they prayed, we had this prayer service, that they became pregnant. It never occurred to them, never occurred to me, never occurred to anybody else until we finally put it together at that baptism. And he gave that quick testimony during that baptism. It was a really moving time. But I find it interesting that throughout our lives, and particularly even here in the Bible story, our lives unfortunately are filled with what we think are these forgotten, unanswered prayers. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had, I'm sure, a bunch of them. These forgotten, unanswered prayers. Zechariah was a important priest, and Elizabeth was part of a priestly line. And Zechariah was involved in the worship at the temple and all those things that involves. And particularly, this was a high day for him because he got chosen by lot to give the incense offering. Now, it's not the same thing as the Day of Atonement, where they would go inside the Holy of Holies, but it was also still a very special time because in the temple, you know, kind of like our sanctuary, the Holy of Holies would have been back here, and then on this side would have been like the showbread where they would have the slave and made every day as a symbol of God's goodness. And then on this side would be the altar of incense. And the altar of incense was that time and place where they would burn incense as an offering, a prayer offering of the people to God. And it involved a sacrifice outside the temple area. And they would burn, and I'm not sure what animal they would use, maybe a lamb, maybe an oxen. And they would burn this offering. And then the priest chosen by lot, which was Zechariah, would then take these hot coals. And then he would carry them in by himself into the temple to the altar of incense. And then he would dump those coals in. And then there were 7 spices that had to be combined together only for this service. You couldn't do this at home. Only for this service where, and then he would dump those spices on there, and as they burn, it was an incense before the Lord, and they lifted up those prayers. Now, one of the prayers that were used during this time, and I'm sure was said by the priest and the people as they were praying out front, was, may the Messiah come. May your kingdom be established here on earth. Because the Israelites really believed that the Messiah was going to come. But the difficult thing, I think for Zechariah particularly, for 400 years, they've been dumping these coals on, putting on these spices, and praying for the Messiah. For 400 years, they had heard nothing. There was this period in the history of Israel where no prophets were speaking. There was no visions in the temple. And that period was this 400-year gap of nothing, of silence. And that perplexed people. And I'm sure that Zechariah, who, as a husband who had no children, he and Elizabeth, he kind of had that futility of praying for something that seemed so unbelievable. Praying for the Messiah come? I've been praying for a baby. I can't even get a baby. How is the Messiah going to come from my prayers? But yet, I think the key about Zechariah was he continued to be faithful, continued to go through this service, continued to have that hint of belief that God could do something, that God was going to fulfill his promise, even if this seemed so huge, so unbelievable at that time in his life. So Zechariah goes in and he goes through his process and dumps the coals and puts the spices on, and then he says his prayers and the incense goes up and he smells, and next thing he knows, there's somebody standing next to him. It's an angel of the Lord. Now, everywhere in the Bible, when an angel shows up, the people are scared to death. And the very first words, angels must have to practice this in heaven. Do not be afraid. Because that's the very first thing that they're going to say as soon as they see somebody. And I'm sure that Zechariah, when he was doing that, he turned and saw this angel. He thought, I'm dead. I'm going to die here. First time I get to go into the temple, I'm going to be dead. Because there is this sense that you had to be completely sinless and clean to enter the temple. There was this long process that the priests had to go through. They had to bathe, clean their clothes. They had to, you know, confess every single possible sin that they committed from birth to now, and even some sins that they hadn't done. I mean, it was just this really huge ritual that they had to go through before they even stepped inside the temple. Because it was believed that if you had any sin in your life, God would strike you dead. And so I'm sure that when Zechariah was doing his stuff and saw the angel, he thought, I'm dead. This is it. And the angel comes to him right away and says, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. And of course, the angel Gabriel, you know, this scene in the temple is so powerful, and I'll get to what I think so humorous as well. I always see that in Bible stories, but this is the scene where the angel is saying, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby, and this baby is going to be named John, and this baby is going to lead the way for the coming of the Messiah. Two huge prayers of Zechariah that I'm sure were forgotten and unanswered were now being answered. And I love, you know, Zechariah's his statement when the angel gives him this great news. He looks at the angel and he says, so how can I be sure that this is going to happen? I don't know about you, but what more proof do you need as an angel showing up next to you saying, I'm from God and this is what's going to happen? And he's like, oh, could you do something else for me? Could you have some more proof? And, you know, he says, and this is the great line too. He says, I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now, this is one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. And I've said this in sermons and also in Bible studies, that over and over again, this is used, particularly in the Old Testament, with David and Joshua and Sarah and Abraham. And it's, you know, they were old and advanced in years. And I always thought, that's pretty redundant. If you're old, you're going to be advanced in years. Okay? But as I looked at it more, what I realized and what I think is going on here is every time that's mentioned, It's mentioned in the context of these people had given up hope. David, when it said of David, he was old and advanced in years, he was laying in bed letting his kingdom fall apart. So this old and advanced in years, it's not a redundant phrase, I think. It's, yeah, David was advanced in years, had a lot of birthdays, but he had an attitude that was old, an attitude that had given up, an attitude that said, what's the point? And I think that Zechariah was saying to the angel, yeah, I'm old, and my wife, she's advanced in years. Maybe Elizabeth had hope, more hope. She had the years. Zechariah had given up. And then the response, you know, he said, of course, here Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And this, to me, is the humorous part. The angel said, I'm Gabriel. What else do you need? I mean, I'm adding stuff to Scripture, I agree. It says, I'm Gabriel. What else do you need? I stand in the presence of God. Do you think I know what's going on? And I have been sent to you to speak these good news. This word from the angel telling Zechariah that his forgotten and unanswered prayers were now being answered. You know, I think all of us, whether we are advanced in years or not, get old. We get old because we see the same thing happening over and over again, and nothing changes. The same thing occurs, and nothing gets better. And so we begin to forget those prayers that we prayed for God to do something. We become old in our spirit. Now, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we don't get an angel that pops in on our lives and says, you know, don't be afraid. But yet, in all of our lives, we have to look at our lives and say, are we so stuck in forgetting these unanswered prayers, that we lose that faith? We are so stuck in our routine that we can't break out of it. We went to Pennsylvania this weekend, and we took our dog Ace with us. And if you know Ace, Ace is a little neurotic and has issues. But one of the things that's interesting is that Ace is never really comfortable in the house in Kennerdale. His bed is in the wrong place. His bowls are in the wrong place. The yard smells wrong. And every time he goes outside, he goes a beeline for the car. He's ready to go home. You know, he has a routine over here in this house. You know, in the morning, he goes out, comes back in. He eats. He goes out, comes back in, lays down on his bed. You know, he has a routine. But when we messed up that routine, he's just not comfortable. And I think sometimes when God steps in and says, I'm going to answer that prayer you forgot about, and we're like, wait. You sure about that? And I think Zechariah was like that. He was like, okay, we prayed about that. We really do want a baby, and we do want the Messiah. What do you think Zechariah had more difficulty believing God could do? Bring the Messiah into the world? Or bring a baby into their lives? And so the angel says to him, because you don't believe me, you don't get to talk. You're silent. Now, there's a lot of speculation about why would Zechariah have to be silent? Because, you know, Mary did the same thing. The angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. And Mary's like, excuse me, that's not possible. And yet, she ends up speaking this magnificent psalm that's beautiful, that people have sung for years. But Zechariah is silent. And I kind of think there's maybe a couple reasons for this, but I think one of them is that what would have Zechariah done after he stepped out of the temple and could speak? He would have been like, you should have seen what happened. And it would have been all about the event. Would have been about the angel. Oh, yeah, by the way,
we're supposed to have a baby. And then everybody would have been dissecting it and figuring, well, you know, angels don't, you know, doing all that stuff. And yet, so he didn't get to do that. He went home silent. And I think one of the reasons why he went home silent as well is that something that big, we need to step back and think about it, reflect about it. Not just spread it out and saying, look what happened to me, so you know, and make, but humbly, he was able to stop and reflect for 9 months about what this means. Sometimes when a big event happens in our lives, a big achievement, you know, yet we're proud, we're happy, but for a lot of us, we just want to take it all in. What does this mean? What do I do now? Rather than have a big party and celebrate. So Zachariah and Elizabeth get to have this baby, and it's the beginning of the kingdom of God. And it's a chance, I think, also for us in this good and bad news. The good news is you're going to have a baby, the kingdom of God's coming. The bad news is you're not believing enough. So you're going to be silent. And the good news, bad news for us is that all of us have those doubts. All of us struggle with that belief that something is going to change, that God is going to step into our lives and into this world's life and change something. And we're called to continue to pray, to continue to let the incense of God, the prayers, the lift up, even if it's 400 years, even if it's 10 years, even if it's a year, to continue to be faithful, to believe even in the midst of our unbelief. So kind of with the choir today, people get ready because God is bringing great news for us. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that, you know, Zachariah was a lot like us. Even with a miraculous event of an angel coming before him and announcing the answers to prayers that he has forgotten about, he still has struggles believing it. And Lord, we certainly come before you today in the midst of a lot of unbelief, a lot of questions, a lot of forgotten, unanswered prayers, and we ask that you will continue to help us to remain faithful, to remain vigilant in praying and lifting those up, to be able to wait to hear the good news that you have for us. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.